We're continuing with our story of Shimshon. We're up to the third section. And finally, we have the monologue of Shimshon. After Shimshon has asked for bravery and might for war, now Shimshon goes down to the city of Timnat, the Philistine city. He sees the girl, the Timnit, the girl from Timnat. She seems right in his eyes, and he begins talking. As we did previously, we will read and translate loosely until we finish the speech, and then we'll go back and analyze what's been said. Matov bo'i halom, how good it is I've come today. Yuv yom tov bati, I must have come on a good day. Lirot o ki yahel, I see this source of light giving off its light. Af apei shachar, asher mechalav tzachu, the beacons of light that are more clear than milk. Bifnei ra'ayati zot yachdav yizrachu, they shine off the countenance of this friend, this female friend of mine. Shemesh tzedakah hi uvichnafeha tisat shuotchen umichlal yofi. She is, notice the word shemesh reappearing. Shimshon again is talking about the shemesh. This is like the sun that gives charity, gives to all. And in her wings she carries with her, in other words, she carries with her great charm and an encompassing beauty. The pupils of her eyes, they pierce. They are so sharp. And so my heart is drawn to her arrows. I cannot retain myself. I have been taken into captivity among all those that are bound by desire. Oh. So Ramchal is revealing to us that Shimshon's going at God's directive, but on the other hand, his desire has bound him. Ach ma yerach libi verach einenu, ki meruach kadin gvurot chosen in mishperi galav yom yom yehomu. Why is it that my heart is softened if my heart is not soft? But rather, I have the strength, I stand up to the winds. Day, day, I stand up to the greatest waves. How come my heart succumbs now? How come my armor goes down, my hands go down? Suddenly, I don't have any plans. I lost my strength when I face the arrows of desire. Remember, we described desire as this lad holding the bow, right? So now he's succumbing to the arrows of desire that are piercing him from her eyes. What am I detaining for? Let me get up and go to my father and tell him my desires. Because I know my father always tries to fulfill my desires. After that, I'll return. I will, with confidence, enjoy and bask in the beauty of and bask in the love of my friend. I will be able to rest peacefully, enveloped by her love. I will go now. I will not rest until I come. I will go, and God should give me my hope. The streams are always running back to the sea, and they never come. Hamitavim ken, by the same token, those that have desire, they awaken, they run, they spend their whole life pursuing until they attain that which they desire. Just as the rivers keep streaming to the sea, so to those that have desire keep pursuing until they attain their desire. So to I will not rest until I have this girl, and so let me go to my father and take care of it and marry her now. Okay. What a speech. Now let's see, what did Ramchal put into this speech? You know, we read it very coarsely, but really Ramchal is playing a game with us from the first words of the speech. How was Shimshon taken? And again, I remind you, I do not have a tradition on this. But as I read it, each time I say, okay, which words is he taking from Tanakh? And what are their connotations in Tanakh? So what's he telling me? So the speech of Shimshon begins with Matov. What does that sound like? Matovu. Who said Matovu? Bilam. What was he saying Matovu about? He, Bilam, the wretched, was sending girls as women of ill repute to seduce the Jewish people. Whereas the Jewish people were so modest that their tents were positioned in opposite ways so they wouldn't by mistake open the door and look into their neighbor's tent. Meaning they always wanted to guard their eyes. And when Bilam looks at this, he's stunned. He says, Matovu Alecha Yisrael, what beautiful tents you have, Israel. You're so modest, you don't look where you're not supposed to look. You ensure you won't look where you won't look. And these are the words Shimshon begins his speech when he's been taken by his eyes. He saw the girl he shouldn't have seen. And now he's running after the girl that he shouldn't have seen. So Matov, his speech begins with those words. I don't know, I see humor in that. He says, how good is it, Boi Halom, that I've come here, which also needs work. Uvi Yom Tov Bati. That's a play on words from what King David does when he sends words to Naval, Ki Al Yom Tov Banu. When King David tells Naval, you know, I've always been kind to you, I've always been good to you, now that you're having a party, I should have a part in it. And really, that's the exact opposite of what's happening here. Shimshon hasn't been kind, he hasn't been good, and the good Jewish people have zero relationship with the Philistines. We will see that Ramchal actually learns, I think, he doesn't spell it out, but I think that's what he means to say in the play, that the whole metaphor of the lion and the honey is a reference to Samson and his wife. Because the lion is the Philistines that are devouring us. And he's saying, look at that. The lion that's always attacking me is now producing honey that I can eat. The Philistines that have always attacked Israel are now producing a wonderful wife for me. And it fits, if as we will see later, if that's what Ramchal is telling us, then we understand why that is the riddle he gives them at the wedding. He's telling them, this girl, I don't look at her as a disgusting Philistine. I look at her as, look what the Philistines could produce, even though they're our enemies and they've been beating us. They're the lion, but they've produced honey. So then, again, Ramchal doesn't spell it out, but as we'll see in the poem, in the play, I think that's what he's alluding to as we'll continue. So, Al Yom Tov Banu. This is the exact opposite. Samson is approaching the Philistines. They're not friends. Why should they even let him in? He's trying to say, you know, it's a good day. Let's be buddies. It's not such a good day. You're not from one of ours. As we will see later on, they will exactly, that's exactly what they'll say. It plays itself out just like with Naval. When King David says, hey buddy, I always helped you out. Why don't you help me? Naval says, get out of here. You're a bum. You're a rebel. Whoever heard of you? There are so many rebels every day. There's a new rebel. Why should I give you anything? Shimshon's going to get the same reaction from the Philistines. So he begins his speech with the same terminology, Uviyom Tov Dati, Lirot Or Ki Yahel, to see the light that gives off, the source of light that gives off light. Here there's a lot to talk about, we're going to skip it. Hashem Echalav Tzachu, more pure than milk? Say wine, say oil, say water. So the truth is it's a pasuk, Tzachu Mechalav. But it's talking about people who took control of themselves. The pasuk speaks about nizireha. That same pasuk speaks about those people who were nizirim. They had control over their desires. And perhaps he is referring to that milk of that woman who lived shortly before him, Ya'el, who gave milk and through the milk was able to overtake Sisra, the greatest warrior. He says, your beauty is more clear than milk. That's not exactly what I think he'd say, you know. He describes her as Tshuot Chen and Michlal Yofi, which are terms for Zion. Tzion is known for her modesty. This girl is not. Tzion is known for her purity. This girl is a Philistine. He says to her, Af ishon bat eineha. Now that's a term in Lamentations. In Lamentations, when describing the downfall of the Jewish people, it says, Al tidom bat eineh. Don't let your eye stop tearing. So Ramchal takes that verse and sticks it in here and he says, oh, the beauty of the darkness of her bat eineh, her eye. What is he saying? He's saying, yeah, I'm running after a non-Jewish girl. She's gorgeous. So Ramchal sticks in the words that describe the Jewish people tearing over their own destruction. So that when he's going to say she's gorgeous, he says, what beautiful eyes. And that word is a code in Tanakh for those eyes that tear over the destruction of the Jewish people. Again, when you see these words in Tanakh, you say, oh, so Ramchal is like, on the one hand, you read the play on the surface, you see a speech of a guy in love. You suddenly see where these words come from. Each word is taken from a different scene that's giving us another message about this speech. Yorev b'nei kashto ushnunim heima. Her eyes shoot at me the sons of her bow, and they are sharp. Where do we say a word that's like shnunim? Where do you say it every day? Thank you. Veshinantam nevanecha. B'nei kashto. B'nei kashto in Tanakh is very often the students. The students of Torah are called B'nei kashto, the sons of the bow, the arrow. It says, B'necha kechitzim biyad gibor, like the arrows. Tov. Towards the bottom of the page, he says, on line 65, there's more, because there's an allusion here to Jonah in the speech, but we don't have time for that. Eicha ifo. Those two words appear where? We learned it in the book of Judges. When Zvul, the governor of Avimelech, is contending with Gaal ben Eved. Remember, Gaal ben Eved and his brothers came to town and said, we're the people of Shechem, we're not Jewish. Why should we be subservient to Avimelech? If only Avimelech were here, I'd tell him, take out your army. Let's see you fight. And so Zvul, the governor, sends word to Avimelech. He says, bring out the armies because they're preparing a rebellion against you. So the very people of Shechem who murdered all the children of Gidon in order to establish their brother Avimelech as king, now the very people are threatening Avimelech under Gaal ben Eved. They're saying, we're not Jewish. Why should we be under Gaal? Why should we be under Avimelech? With Gaal ben Eved, they say, we're going to attack Avimelech. So the governor Zvul sends word to Avimelech. He says, you better bring the army out here tomorrow. The next morning, as the dawn is rising, the army is approaching the city. Gaal ben Eved is standing there at the entrance to the city, right next to Zvul, the governor. And he looks out, and he sees the army moving. And he says to Zvul, he says, isn't that an army coming? So Zvul says, no, it's the shadows of the mountain moving. As the sun rises, so the shadows shift. It's the shadows you see moving. So Gaal is standing there looking, and then he says, no. I see a man. There's a man leading a battalion. That's an army. So Zvul turns to him and says, Ayei eifo picha, where's your mouth now? You who kept saying, I would take on Avimelech. Now show me, where is all that guts now? He says that very heart that thought he had all that confidence to stand up to all the wars, but suddenly desire is overtaking me, Samson says. He uses the same word, where are you now? Where's all that big talk now? So the verses over here are taken from verses about the Torah, meaning Ayelet Avim v'Yalat Chen Dadei Yeravucha b'Chol Et. The play on words over here is from verses in Mishlei, in Proverbs, about the relationship with the Torah, and it says Torah will always give you sustenance. Torah is the love which will always be new and exciting. Torah is like a young wife where it's always exciting to come back home. So this whole description where he says, I'm so madly in love with this girl, Ramchal takes the psukim that describe how madly in love a person should be with Torah. The Rambam says, a person will not be overtaken with desires so long as his mind is connected to Torah. It's only when you let go and you start looking around that you can be overtaken by desire. And perhaps Ramchal is alluding to something here when he uses the terms that should represent our love for Torah to represent Shimshon's love and desire and infatuation with this Philistine girl. And in truth, when Samson describes his desire like the streams running to the sea, he is really alluding to another point. It says that when King David got married, so King David thought, if I want to take control of my desire, I'll be intimate with my wife as often as possible, and then I'll have control over my desire. And the more he was intimate, the more he wanted to be intimate. And it was a cycle. And he kept being with her more and more and more, and he kept wanting it more and more and more, until finally he was taught the rule, Eiver katan yesh ba'adam. Every man is created with the small limb, the limb that's used in desire. Masbio, if you try to satiate it perpetually, ra'ev, it will only get more hungry. Marivo, but if you keep it hungry, you keep it at bay, you give it what it needs, but not more than that, saveh, then it can find satiation. So if you want to, you can't live a life like that. King David, when he was trying to satiate it, he was only arousing the hunger within himself. Samson says desire is like the streams running to the big sea. You know what? They don't stop. They keep running. He says, just like desire, you don't... A person that desires is like the streams running to the sea. He's not going to stop till he gets what he desired. But that's not analogous because the streams don't stop running. They keep running. And perhaps that's the contradiction that Ramchal is alluding to in this part of the play. That Shimshon, hey, he wasn't happy with one wife. He was with her, and then things didn't work out with her. He went to the next one, and then he went on to a third one. If we're going to run after desire, so you think I'll get that, I'll be happy. Ain't going to work that way. If it's desire, if it's not connected to reality, if it's infatuation, so you're not going to be happy with her. You'll be happy with her for a time, and then on to the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. It's like the streams running to the sea. So again, Ramchal just says the metaphor. He puts it in Samson's mouth. He says, you know, like the streams running to the sea, a person who has a desire isn't going to stop till he attains it. And I'm saying maybe that's why he used that analogy to tell us he ain't going to attain it. He'll keep running.
That's the expression in Mishlei, a man dies with not a one of thousands or something.
It's a Gemara. It's not in Mishlei. En adam met v'chatzi tavato biyado. No one passes from the world feeling like they've gotten half of what they wanted. There's always much, much more that you want. Yeah.